When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'm going to start this one with a quote from J.M. DeMatteis, DC Comics writer, writes a lot of the different DC property cartoons. Most people remember him for his stint on Justice League International, but he also wrote a variety of different books. He wrote a really great series for Spectacular Spider-Man, The Death of the Green Goblin. He also wrote a graphic novel called Moonshadow. Great writer with a lot of great thoughts. And I follow him on Twitter. He is at J-M-D-E-M-A-T-T-E-I-S on Twitter. I'll link to it in the show notes. And just yesterday, as if he was going through the same thing that I was going through, he wrote these following tweets. Often, when I begin a new project, it's as if I've never written before. As if I have no idea how to put two words together, let alone craft a plot, weave a theme, build a character. Eventually, I start slapping ideas down on the page, and eventually, these ideas become a story. And then the miracle, the story begins to take on a life of its own. But when I start, I'm a beginner who knows nothing, which, come to think of it, is a very good thing. Oh man, oh man. Doesn't that fly in the face of even talking about and teaching and discussing this whole storytelling business as if we can ever pin it down? Because after all, with each new story, we're a beginner all over again. Each new story makes us confront a blank and empty void, and we got to sort of figure out how to become a writer, a storyteller all over again. It sounds awful. It sounds daunting, doesn't it? And like I said, it kind of makes one wonder if it's even worthwhile to try to teach this stuff. But you know what? One of the functions of teaching, as I see it, is to share one's experiences, to offer guidance for when other people are stuck, or at the very least, give them some kind of hope that this thing is achievable, because even the best of us, like J.M. DeMatteis, approach this thing like a beginner when they start again. So, okay, what's the essay about today? Today we're going to talk about thumbnailing, because that's what I've been doing a lot the last 3 weeks. I set myself a deadline at the beginning of January that I was going to thumbnail the new front story that I'm going to run on sugarycereals.com. And I said by the end of January, I want to have the story thumbnailed. And then sometime in early February, I want to start releasing the comic on a weekly basis again. We'll see about the weekly schedule when I get there, because I want to do this thing in full color, and it's going to be a real trick to try to figure out how to fit that into my schedule. I'll use my emergent task planner, which I talked about last episode. But we'll see if I can fit it in. But one of the big takeaways that I had after doing these thumbnails, I finished the initial thumbnails of the entire 33-page story. And when I say initial thumbnails, what I'm talking about is a box maybe about, each page is represented by a box about maybe 2 inches wide by an inch and a half deep. Or turn that on its side, rather. It's more like 2 inches deep by an inch and a half wide. So very, very loose, scratchy kind of stick figure thumbnails with just rough, rudimentary dialogue thrown in there just to figure out my moment choices. And then from there, I take it to, I take a letter size sheet of paper, fold it in half, and then I, you know, make a booklet out of that. And I do a second round of thumbs, which is more refined, more detailed, and doing my final dialogue, acting moments, and so on. A little bit more of a refined sketch of the entire book. Now, I talked about this at length in an episode of the Lean Into Art cast. It was the episode called Look at My Thumbs. And it was a video show, so I actually show what my thumbnails look like. And I can't remember now, but I seem to remember saying something along the lines of, like, I've loosened up my thumbnailing in recent days, but I've gone back to a tighter round of thumbs on this particular book because this is my baby. This is my most personal project. These are the characters that I've had and have nurtured since, in my mind at least, since I was a kid. So this project has a little bit more gravity in my mind. And I think that's part of the problem that I ran into. Now let's get to the problems I ran into. And why did I quote J.M. DeMatteis and what he said about approaching a story as a new writer every time? I just finished in early January a round of a 30-page story. I thumbnailed a 30-page story called Holly Hammerhands, which I'm going to work on with Casey Van Heis of wintersandlavelle.com. This, too, will be a Sugary Cereals comic. And I found that process to go pretty well. I blasted through it. I don't want to say terribly quickly. It was kind of broken up with. I only got to work on it here and there in between other more pressing needs in my career. But in my spare time, I allotted a couple hours here, a couple hours there. But whenever I sat down to do it, it just started coming out of me. The story just came out of me. And I think that part of this comes out of the fact that these characters in Holly Hammerhands are brand new. I'm discovering them for the first time. You get to play the what-if game a little bit more freely. And then when I started working on the front thumbnails, the initial thumbnails for the story, oh man, did I hit some roadblocks. Oh man, did it not come easy. I re-thumbnailed the first 8 to 10 pages 4 different times, and I just could not land on something that felt good to me. Now, in an earlier, a past, a long time ago, Thunder Punch Daily, probably about a year ago, I talked about my procedure of my experience doing the Boulder and Fleet mini-comic, a mini-comic that I drew in a week. And I remember highlighting something that I go through every darn story I write. You get midway through and you start to suspect, oh my gosh, this is garbage. I'm halfway through. I thought all these ideas were good, but when I step back and look at it, it's just not all that great. It's not what I wanted it to be. And oh my gosh, I'm a hack after all. And then you push through and you finish it and you look at it after a couple days and you're like, hey, this isn't that bad. This is actually kind of good. I'm pleased with this thing. I was running into that on the first 8 pages of this book, of this front story. And I was writing these long extended scenes that were, in my opinion, very self-indulgent, kind of ruminating on the theme a little too loudly and a little bit too lengthily. I wasn't really getting to the heart of the action. And here's a note that I wrote myself as I was struggling with this, is express these characters' motivations through actions, not through conversation. You know, it's an action story. I'm not saying that you shouldn't write conversation stories or conversation scenes in your stories. There are times where you're just not going to be doing an action while you're talking about something. Two people sitting and talking over coffee is a sort of an action, but what I'm talking about is like bombastic action adventure kind of stuff that is, you know, is the hallmark of what the front represented to me. But even writing that note, because I wrote this long, long conversation sequence where characters are arguing over their points of view, and that is something that I've talked about in past shows, is that you want to line up your characters to argue over your theme, right? And that's what I was doing, but they were doing it sitting in a room just arguing philosophy, and that's kind of interesting, but it's not an action-adventure story, right? I mean, how interesting would it be if you were watching something like, say, Star Wars, and Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader are sitting in chairs arguing over the nature of the Force? That could be interesting, but we really want to see the laser sword fight, don't we? And that was what I was trying to keep my eye on when I was doing these thumbnails, but I just couldn't get it. I could not figure out how to fit it all together, how to condense it all, distill all the ideas down to a simplified version, a simple version, not a simplistic version. Remember, there's a difference between those two words. Look them up. So after many aborted attempts, I found myself feeling the same kind of thing that I've done every time in every story is, oh my gosh, I don't have it after all. I don't got it. I don't got what it takes to do this cartooning thing. And it was funny because I was having an inner dialogue with myself as I said, well, geez, you just finished the Holly Hammerhands thing and that came together pretty easily for you. Why is this giving you so much trouble? And I started making up all sorts of excuses. Oh, these characters are too important to me. I can't do it wrong. I can't just dive in and just have fun with it because this is a really personal group of characters to me. It has to be absolutely right. And after stepping back and giving myself some time to breathe, two things occurred to me. One, this is more sort of idiosyncratic to me, is that you know the old expression, keep it simple, stupid. Suddenly, and actually this came through talking to one of my best friends, the guy who's always my sounding board for all of my comics ideas, my buddy Hoover. He reminded me to keep it silly, stupid. Like, don't get too hung up on the message. Don't get too hung up on what you're trying to convey. That will come through as long as you're having fun writing a bunch of silly jokes and some ham-fisted action sequences. That's what you like doing in this book. Focus on that, and the messages that you also want to address in the story will come through eventually, so relax. But the second point, and this is probably the one that's most applicable to everybody, and this is a lesson I learn over and over again, which means that the reason I share it is just to show that this is something I go through, I'm guessing other cartoonists go through, at least Jim DeMatteis goes through this, is that you just have to press on. One of the problems, the big mistake I made was rewriting that first chapter four times, because if I just would have pushed through act two and act three, I probably would have found the beating heart of that story and found the way to express all those ideas in actions just through the process of throwing, as Jim DeMatteis said, throwing ideas on the page. And I'm not throwing ideas on the page if I'm rewriting the same scene in different ways over and over again. This is common advice in writing. Don't edit until after your manuscript is done. Don't edit while you write. Some people can. You know, I'm not going to prescribe one way of doing it. I'm just saying that this is a lesson I personally learned, is that I was not getting anywhere by editing before I even knew what the story was truly going to be. I had an outline. I had a paragraph description of what this thing was going to be. But a paragraph description doesn't describe what happens on page 15, right? It just gives you an essence of a through line of what's going to happen with these characters. By the way, sidebar, more on through lines coming up this week on the latest Lean Into Art cast. I think it's going to be episode 21. If you're listening to this way after the fact, let's see, what's the date today as I record this? January 24th, 2012. If you're listening way after the fact, go back to the archives of leanintoart.com, the podcast, the Lean Into Art cast, episode 21. We do an hour and a half discussion on what I learned about emotional through lines through doing this particular story. I spent a lot of time talking about it. But you have a through line for your characters and your story, but you don't have all the nitty-gritty details. That's when you actually do some writing, and you can't. It's difficult to edit the story before you even know where the story is really going. One of the things that has happened with all of the comics I've ever written is I've discovered new aspects, new layers, new facets of the story that I didn't even know were there until I started throwing ideas on paper and then making loose associations and connections between these different things. So finally, I just forced myself, and there was a real palpable sense of terror. There was a real sense of fear at diving into Act Two because, oh my gosh, I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to do it wrong, and you know it's going to be a lot of wasted effort, so I really got to make sure Act One is good. That was just me talking myself out of writing the damn book. So I pushed myself through, wrote Act Two, came out pretty okay. All right, maybe I can do Act Three. And I wrote Act Three. Hey, that came out okay too. That's not too bad. It needs a little bit of punching up here and there, but that's what the second round of thumbnails is for. Relax, jurors, just get the ideas on paper. I don't know how many times I've told my own students to just get the ideas on paper. Don't worry about it. Relax. And here I was, guy who's got a handful of comics under his belt, and I'm suffering from the same fear. So that's the big idea today, is that pressing on and just writing the first draft is really hard, and it doesn't get easier. With each new story, you have to go through that same process again. But the reason I'm chronicling this, the reason I'm putting this down into audio, is both to offer this to you guys, if this helps at all, but mostly to offer this to myself, to say, yeah, the next time you do this, jurors, just barrel through Act One and just keep pushing on. There's a sort of macho kind of attitude that we can fall victim to. Maybe not you guys, but I fall victim to this, of doing a lot of edits, doing a lot of revisions, because that shows you care. It shows that you're really committed to making this thing the best thing it can be. Who works harder than me on this after all? You know, I really sweat the details on this stuff. Yes, you should. But you also should be having fun, because now I'll quote a quote. This is me. Dan Mishkin once said this, and I think he said it on Comics Are Great Episode 1. He said he was talking about Chuck Jones responding to the Roger Rabbit cartoon. The Roger Rabbit movie, I should say. And Chuck Jones supposedly said, this is Dan saying this, and this is me paraphrasing Dan's words, that when you make a cartoon, it should be 90% work, 10% love, but only the love should show. And he said that the failings of Roger Rabbit, as he saw it, was that the work was showing and not all, and in addition to the love. Where I'm going with this is that we ultimately need to have fun doing this too, because if we're not having fun with this, if this is entirely just laborious, sweaty work where we're banging our head into the panel like Guy Music from The Muppets, that's going to show. And it's not going to make for a very fun story to read. So reminding myself to keep it silly stupid and to just have fun with this and write in some dumb jokes. Like there's some pretty dumb jokes in this book. There's some slapsticky kind of stuff, but I love that stuff. And to heck with if anybody else if they don't like it. I'm not really writing this for anybody but me, so write it for you, jurors. Don't get sued. And I think that's like another aspect of what stymies us, is we want the work to show because we want to be applauded, at least I do, by the critics. I'll admit it. I'll own up to that. I would love it if somebody wrote a brilliant essay about what a great storyteller I am. But that doesn't get me a story done, right? What gets a story done is having a good time doing it. And not to be glib about it, not to be lighthearted about it, not take it seriously, but to go back again to quote somebody else who said something smart, Kevin Cross of kevincross.net once said that we're serious about having fun. So it's a balance and it's a tricky one. And it's a cycle that we have to go through again and again and again. And I feel like I've made it through this particular cycle. But the good news is you feel great afterwards, but now I'm looking, as I come close to finishing the thumbnails in this one and start diving into the final art, that means I got to start working on the next story, and I'm dreading that fear that's going to happen again when I sit down with that blank page and have to start all over again. But this is what we asked for, right? This is the life we've chosen, is creative challenges, a creative life, making things that we hope will live a little bit longer than us and make a handful of people happy. And I would say that it's worth being a little afraid to do that. So, okay, before I get all self-helpy, I'll close this out. And I will say that, keep an eye on sugarycereals.com in February. I'll be making some noise on the Twitters when it comes time to, when I start updating some stuff on there and posting new pages from this book. I'm super, super excited about it. And again, I'm not expecting any kind of big things to happen with it. I'm hopeful that something good will come out of it, that I can leverage this thing to start making some money off of my comics beyond a freelance illustration capacity. But at the very least, if not that, then I get to write a really cool story that I'm going to have fun doing and maybe give it to a few kids at shows like Kids Read Comics. More on Kids Read Comics coming up, too. Man, I just started organizing that. We're in the throes of building the 2012 show. And, oh, man, some cool stuff happening with that I'll talk about later. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com, comicsaregreat.com, I should say, Jersey on Twitter, sugarycereals.com. Thanks so much for downloading and listening to this show. It's kind of cool that you let me into your ears. You could be listening to a lot of other stuff. You could be listening to This American Life. You could be listening to, Chuck and Gator in the morning. You could be listening to music, for crying out loud, but you chose to listen to me, and that's kind of a neat thing. That fills me with a little bit of a sense of humility. So thanks. Appreciate it. Music for this show was written by my brother, Elliot Drozd. ElliotDrozd.com, ElliotT. Talented musician. He's got a website, but he hasn't done anything with it yet. I'm going to twist his arm and see if I can get him to start sharing some of his music online, because the guy's amazing. Just kind of dragging his feet on that. The voiceover for the intro was by Tara Platt of TaraPlatt.com. She wrote a book called Voice Over Voice Actor, What It's Like Behind the Mic, with her husband, Yuri Lowenthal. Both great, talented voice actors, and I did the illustrations on the book, too. So, if you purchase the book, you'll not only learn a little bit about how to use your voice to create character, which some of you may be interested in if you happen to be exploring this transmedia stuff, making video games from your comics, making animations from your comics. You might find that to be a useful book, and then also you're supporting your old pal Jurors because, I don't get any money from any sales in that book. But hey, sales of the book means that they might write another one, which means they might hire me to do more cartoons for it. So anyway, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, Zagraz had a problem. He lost his confidence in himself because he had once failed. Well, now, we all fail sometimes, but we should never be afraid to try again. And we should always keep believing in ourselves. As the old saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Until later, bye.